Welcome to Jaguars Thursday. Former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli bring you expert insight and analysis of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Now to get things started, here's the host of Jaguars Thursday, J.P. Shadrick.
Welcome in, Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman. Coming up soon, Tony Baselli from Bank of America Stadium, Charlotte, North Carolina. Jags and the Rams coming up this week at Everbank Field. First Jaguars home game since week two. First Jaguars game at Everbank Field since week two, I should say. The home game in London, of course. The Jaguars got the win there. So plenty to get to. What a battle of run games we'll have this Sunday. Todd Gurley for the Rams, Fournette and company for the Jags. Two of the top young running backs in this league right now.
They're two out of the top three.
Overall,
Kareem Hunt is number one with the Kansas City Chiefs. As far as total yards from scrimmage, Gurley is number two. Fournette is number three. I mean, this is a premier back battle in the National Football League, and it will be certainly a fun game to watch. And Gurley obviously played at the University of Georgia, so it's kind of coming back home for him. You know, so it should be a lot of fun, and these are two good football teams. And you hope that they're two good up-and-coming football teams where they continue to win.
Let's go to Bank of America Stadium, Charlotte, North Carolina. Pride of the Jaguars left tackle Tony Baselli is the analyst for tonight's Westwood One broadcast of Thursday Night Football. Tony, good evening.
Good evening, fellas. How are we doing?
Oh, we're doing. We're doing.
I got my popcorn ready for the game tonight, Tony.
It's going to be a great game.
Yeah, that's a great matchup.
I mean, an outstanding matchup. And I knew it, you know, just by the records, but then digging into this game and watching the tape of both teams, boy, there's a lot of good players, two really good defensive lines, offensive lines playing a high level, you know, both quarterbacks. You got playmakers all over the field. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, so before we talk Jaguars, I got to get some skinny stuff from Tony. He's watched the film on these games. Okay. Carson Wentz, okay?
Yeah.
Your thoughts on him and what you've seen on tape out of him?
Franchise quarterback. He's
That's
a stud.
Kind of what I thought.
He's young. He'll make some mistakes, but he's pocket presence, his quick release, big arm, can make every throw tough. I mean, he's a stud. You know, you talk to or you read the stuff that the Eagles, you know, how they talk about him. They already give him free rein at the line of scrimmage to check out a play and to manage the game at the line of scrimmage in situations. So he is outstanding. The Philadelphia Eagles, you know, barring, you know, health and injuries, have a franchise quarterback for the next 12 years. He's going to be really good.
Well, and it will be interesting to, you know, because the debate will never end until – a decade from now.
Yeah, until somebody's in Canton or not. Right?
Well, between, you know, Goff or Wentz. You know, so, you know, did
How has Goff looked on the tape, Jeff?
Pretty good. Now, you know, his rating, I think, is a little higher than maybe what you might expect. Because I think a lot of his completions are coming underneath tight end, running back. You don't see a ton of stuff down the field. But, Tony, what you're seeing out of him this year is what you saw out of him when he was in college at California, to where he's got a very talented arm and he can make all the throws. So he's getting better, but, you know, that's why I'm anxious to see Carson Wentz play tonight, because you know what? I want to get on that debate too. Who's the better player,
absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely.
Well, they are really he is a really talented guy, and I'm trying to find it right now in my notes, but what's impressive about Carson Wentz is his ability to press the ball down the field. He is a guy, and so it's not just a bunch of underneath stuff, Jeff. I mean, his yard per completion, and I was not ready for this conversation yet. His yard per attempt, is one of the highest in the NFL.
Okay.
And I remember it jumped out. I don't have it right in front of me. It's in my notes. But he has a good completion percentage, but it's not just underneath stuff. I mean, he is going to take some shots down the field, and he's really good. And then on the other side, and I know we're going to talk about Jags here in a second, Cam Newton, Jeff, holy cow. The last 2 weeks, he is completing over 75% of his passes, has thrown for over 300 yards in both games. I think it's 10 touchdowns, you know, one interception, something ridiculous like that. And just play, the questions were about him is the was the shoulder strength coming off the rotator cuff surgery. He had major surgery in his throwing arm, and it was a little bit shaky early. Watching the last 2 weeks of tape on him, he is back. And he made some throws against Detroit. Holy cow, big boy throws.
Well, I had him in fantasy, so I'm glad he's back. I think it was last. Yeah, I had him last week, or not this past week, but the week before.
Well, it doesn't help you.
That was a good thing.
It doesn't help you. Yeah, this past week. Hey, let's get to the Jags and the Rams. Tony, if the Jaguars can't run the football, what are they going to do offensively?
Pray their defense scores points. I mean, right now they don't have an answer that we can sit here and say, well, they can go to this, they can go to that. I mean, the one they've had. One good passing game against Baltimore, and it was out of a lot of creativity, and it was the day Mercedes Lewis had his big day. Outside of that, the win against Houston, they did nothing. I think they threw 448 yards. Nothing against Tennessee. Baltimore, we just talked about. Nothing really to speak of against the Jets, and nothing last week. And so their formula, until further notice, until they show us something, I don't think we can say they have an answer.
No,
that's
they
got
to create on defense.
Yeah, they got to create short fields on defense, find a way to score some points in the return game or on defense, and run the ball and not turn it over. That's their formula. It's tough because they're going to play against a team, and I know that everyone says, well, see, you know, they played a good defense in Seattle last week. You know, they only had 10 points. Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong because I've just started the work on it. They had over 400 yards of offense. They took the ball down the first drive, fumbled it inside the 10. Had another fumble on the one by Todd Gurley in the game. They
going
went up
into
and down
the end zone, by the way.
Yeah, they went up and down the field against the Seahawks, just didn't convert in the red zone. This was the number one scoring offense before they had all those turnovers this past week. And so it's going to be a huge challenge for the Jaguars defense, which I think they're up to it. I'm not worried about that. But to think that the Jaguars aren't going to have to score – I think they got to score 21 to 24 points to win this game.
Yeah, to give a little bit of information as far as backing up what Tony's talking about, as far as, you know, can this offense get something going without the help of the defense? Here's the facts. 74 out of the 139 points that this Jaguars team has scored have been off of takeaways.
Yeah.
74 of 139. That's greater than 50%. I mean, that's a staggering number. And to give you an example, the Rams. The Rams' offense has, and this is an interesting stat for this very reason, the Rams' offense has turned the ball over 10 times on the season. The Rams' defense has only allowed 15 points off of those 10 offensive giveaways.
Wow.
So, you know, we're saying, okay, for the Jaguars' offense to do something good, they need the defense to give them great field position and get some takeaways. Well, guess what? The Rams are kind of used to that as a defense. And right now, on the 10 giveaways their offense has given up, they've only allowed 15 points with Wade Phillips' defense. That's an unbelievable number. That's like, what is that, 1.5 points per offensive giveaway allowed? Man, that's a pretty impressive number now.
Yeah, it sure
is.
So,
I mean, to answer your question, JP, they're going to have to get creative. And they're going to need – I will
like
go
what?
Back to
– like how?
Well, creative –
like you did in Baltimore.
You did in Baltimore. But the other thing is, they have to throw on first down. They have to get in those run looks, and when they get man coverage outside, they got to take shots. On first down, they should play action pass more and throw, you know, the deep ends and the crossing, you know, the deep crossers and the over routes. They have to loosen up the defense. There are plays to be made in the passing game if they execute. But the question is can Blake Bortles and this receiving group execute on a consistent basis? We have not seen it yet.
Well, and there should be, you know, some opportunities. I know that the safety position has been a little bit in flux for the Rams. Maurice Alexander was released. He had actually started for the Rams for a number of games this year. Last week they started rookie John Johnson, and LaMarcus Joyner, who has been their other starting safety, was inactive the last two games. I think he's got a hamstring, and Cody Davis has gotten a little play time in there. So they're not real settled, you know, at that safety position. And so when you're talking about taking some shots, you know, that's the position that's going to prevent a lot of that. So you hope to maybe expose some of that.
And, Jeff, you're exactly right talking about their secondary. But here's the one thing I can guarantee you. Wade Phillips, one of the best defensive coordinators to ever coach in this league, will have a game plan. If he has to put nine in the box and play zero coverage, he will stop. He will have something to stop the run. Now, the Jaguars so far this year, as an offensive line and as a running back, and the backs have done a great job.
That's what they've seen.
They've seen it. But they're going to face it again, and they're going to face it in a different manner. They're going to see a different 3-4 than they did last week. It's going to be Wade Phillips dialing up stuff to stop the run. You're going to see more and more run blitzes against this team. They're going to see more and more teams putting the safety not just, you know, near the box, but completely in the box. And they're going to say, go ahead and try to throw it because we don't think you can.
What did you guys make of the rotation Fournette and Ivory last week?
Thought it was good.
Thought it was the best all year.
Yeah, thought it was real good. You know, you just wonder, though. I mean, how many touches does Leonard Fournette have right now? I mean, you can't keep doing that week in and week out, though, and expect Leonard Fournette to be available for every game. You just can't do that.
Well, he's on pace for 349 carries, which will be a Jaguar record. I think the highest Fred Taylor had was 343, if I'm correct. I don't know if it's a Jaguar record. I think Maurice that one year might have had more. But it would be six more than I think Fred's highest number.
You got to find and look if the conditions dictate you can still do what you did against Pittsburgh. You keep doing that. You know, you don't stop, you know, running the football on every down if you have that ability. But, look, the reality is you're not going to have that ability every game. You're not going to have a five-interception day and scoring twice on defense. That's a rarity. I mean, that was such a special day defensively for this football team. You got to have an offense that's going to be able to make plays in the passing game, and sooner or later, you're not going to have a choice. You're going to have to do that. You're not going to have the luxury of continuing to hand the ball off.
109 carries for Fournette so far through five games. So
that's a lot. It is. That's a lot. You know, last week, 28. And, you know, it's probably on the high side. But it was a game that kind of dictated you could do that.
Yeah.
You know, and I would like to think that going forward, you know, you have a little bit more balance and keep on and, you know, and get Chris Ivory some looks. But, you know, what Tony had been talking about, and he mentioned it during the game and before the game last week about the rotation and that you let guys get a series and it's not kind of in and out. I agree with him from that aspect. And that way you can kind of have a guy, you know, gain a little rhythm, you know, from being in. And so, but I thought for the most part they handled it really well when they got down to that critical, you know, juncture down tight area of goal line. You know, Fournette came out for the one play, then he was right back in there, and there he goes in the end zone touchdown. So, good stuff.
The guy's got to breathe every once in a while, too. He's taking some licks.
Well, the best way to get him to breathe is start throwing the ball.
That might help things, too, Tony, yes. We'll come back and break down the other side. A little bit more, the Jaguars' defense.
Oh, wait a minute. We got to talk about Aaron Donald a little bit. I want to get Tony's thoughts on Aaron Donald and see if he's matching up with mine.
I like it. We'll do that as well. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
J.P. Chadwick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Vaselli. Jaguars Thursday continues. The Jaguars and the Rams coming up Sunday at Everbank Field. First Jags game at Everbank since week two. Boston, Tennessee Titans. Tony is in Charlotte, North Carolina. The Queen City, they call it, Tony.
Yes.
Tonight, the Eagles.
Beautiful night.
Eagles and the Panthers both 4-1 on Thursday night football. All right, Tony, Mr. Offensive Line Guru, how do you block Donald for the Rams?
Well, you pray a lot the night before. And You better be perfect on your technique, because he is, and I haven't watched a lot this year, but watching him last year, he is an explosive, powerful, and more than anything, very, very quick. And so when you play a guy like that, you've got to set for the quickness and adjust to his power. And I think being sound and, you know, when I say set for his quickness, what that means is you cannot be leaning at all. You have to have great balance, weight in between your feet, and ready to. And then if he powers you, you just got to adjust to it, because you can't prepare. You can't be ready. You can't set for both. And at the same time, as your coordinator, what you want to do is you want to try to slide to the three technique, which he plays when in sub. And so whatever side, you know, whatever the film study shows you, you want to slide to him. In the run game, you want to go right at him, I think, because I think he's more effective on the backside than he is on the front side. I'm really interested to see, and Jeff, I'd love to hear what your thoughts are, because now playing in the 3-4 and playing one of those 3-4 defensive ends on first and second down, how he looks.
Yeah, but you know, Tony, and you'll see this when you get to watching the film of the Rams, Wade Phillips is playing this defense with the Rams just like the Pittsburgh Steelers are doing. I mean,
so they're playing more under and over?
Playing unders and overs, and Aaron Donald is never a defensive end. He is a three technique almost exclusively.
So I slide to the three. That's what I would do all
absolutely
game.
And every time you're going to do that. And the one thing I will say about him, you know, running at him, when you watch the tape, you might say, you know what, we might want to run away from him. Because he is very strong. But when the play is away from him, he sometimes is in that, okay, I'm going to save my energy mode for the next play.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because typically with real quick athletic guys like that, you want to run at them. Even though they're strong, because on the backside trying to cut them off is just hell.
Yeah. I think with him, you kind of run away from him because he's – and I'm not saying he loafs or that he's dogging it, but you will see him kind of not have that gear turned up as high.
So he's loafing
on the backside.
Or dogging it.
I mean, but it's very rare.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, here, he's not – and, Tony, you probably remember John Randall, who Tony played against.
Yeah.
You could run at John Randall or you could run away from him, but John Randall was in Warren Sapp on the backside.
They're coming.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's why, like, John Randall didn't matter because he played hard every dang play. And I always thought running at Warren Sapp was much better because of his quickness trying to cut him off on the backside. But great players, run them at them, run away from them, they're going to make plays. That's why they're the best in the league. And Aaron Donald is one of the two best three techniques in this league right now, and he's a dominant player. And the problem is you want to slide to him, you got to worry about him, but they got Robert Quinn on the outside, who's a pretty good pass rusher at defensive end himself.
Yeah, and he's not what he was. You know, remember the last time we watched him, Tony, back in 2013? He's not that player. I don't know if he's got knee issues or whatever, but – he's not at that level. Because, I mean, remember me and you were saying, man, this guy, he is an elite pass rusher back then. And I don't think when you look at it, you'll say, he's not the same player. He's still a good player, but he's not one of those elite players that he was. The one thing, though, I wanted to bring up is that if we go back to the preseason, Patrick Omame, who will see Aaron Donald the most between him and A.J. Cam, this is the type of player in Aaron Donald that Patrick Omame struggled with in week three in the preseason that led to questions about him being a starting guard.
Yeah.
And so this is a huge challenge for Patrick Omame, who's been playing well, by the way.
And I will say Omame is on the injury report. It just came out from Jaguars PR with a hip issue. He's been limited both days of work this week. So whatever, take that for what it's worth.
Hey, can I ask you guys a question about the offensive line? What is the latest on Brandon Linder and what the injury report? Is he practicing with the illness?
He has not practiced at all this week, Wednesday or Thursday, with the illness.
So you got to expect him to be out.
He was in the locker room today during open media time, but did not go.
Which is a good sign, but if he did not practice, you know, the end of last week and didn't practice yesterday or today, he won't play this week. I'd be shocked if he played.
Yeah. So that's two of your interior linemen right there.
You hope Patrick Omame is okay.
Omame's playing. He's going to be fine.
I'm not saying this, but Tony, you remember there was a guy that I played with, and you'll know his name, and I won't say his name.
He got the Reggie White sickness? It was Bruce Smith sickness.
Yeah, he got Bruce Smithitis.
Oh. Yeah.
And every time he would get ready to face Bruce Smith, it was like, my knee,
ah, my back. You know,
yeah, that'll happen to guys. They'll get the elite player sickness.
Seriously, almost every time. And you're like, are you kidding me? And I'm not saying that Omami has Aaron Donalditis. I'm just saying that it reminds me of this guy that I played with before. And his name was not Tony Baselli.
And that's the guy you wanted them to take instead of me.
Yeah, exactly. Oh.
That's a long backstory that we will not get into. Yeah. Jeff always gives me a hard time saying we should have taken this guy as a free agent and drafted Kevin Carter.
Let's go ahead and U-turn out of that road we're about to go down.
It's a dark path that only it's for off the radio conversation of giving each other a hard time.
Yep. Tony, you believe this home game stuff? They've been not good everywhere, but you need to do some damage here at home if you can.
Well, yeah, you want to win at home. I don't buy that there's a problem with them playing at home. I just think they've been a bad football team. They haven't played well anywhere.
Right.
So, but yeah, you need to win at home. I mean, in a perfect world, I mean, our thought was always we want to go undefeated at home. Let's split the road games, and we'll be winning the division and hanging out at home for the first playoff game.
12 wins.
See, you can tell that Tony actually listened as a player, because on the Doug Marrone show, what did he say?
Win the home game.
Win the home game. So he actually said, and he said, I think if you look at the history, the good teams are 6-2 at home.
Yeah, 6-2.
You know, and then they're, you know, splitting or a little bit better on the road.
A little more detailed. Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, as a coach, you know, you always preach, and I think he said this, you know, win your games at home and split on the road. You know, that's kind of the goal. Tony obviously listens.
Apparently. Yeah, I'm a listener.
You ever spit that out real quick?
Copious,
I mean, like,
notes. He
never missed a beat.
Absolutely.
Been ingrained into his head.
He is.
Well, I only heard it from Tom for 7 straight years. You'd think I could remember some of it.
But I think, guys, this is a matchup that is tougher than you first thought a few weeks ago. This Rams team has some weapons on offense.
It's because of the points.
It's a good defense.
How many points
they're
scoring? Look, that's
you got to keep up with these guys.
That's the number one thing that you worry about is points. Because, you know, the Jaguars, you know, are 5th in the league in points scored, but we all know that the reason why is because of the takeaways that the defense has gotten. And at some point, I'm not trying to, you know, be super funny here, but, you know, look, at some point, you got to take the floaties off the arm and swim yourself. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
And in the offense, they need to start, you know, doing their part. You know, they start creating things on their own instead of having the defense be the provider of those opportunities.
They've got it done so far for a 3-2
look,
record.
It's working. It's working.
But for the long-term sustainability of this thing, no.
It's just that's not the way it will always be in certain games, you know. And so at some point, look, Blake and the wide receivers and the tight ends and the backs of the passing game need to do something better than what they've done so far. And Jeff,
I think they will this week. I just got a feeling. I think the defense is going to play another great game. I really do. And I think they're going to give Jared Goff all kinds of fits with how tight the coverage is from the secondary and the pass rush. And the question will be, you know, the big challenge is they're going to have to slow down Todd Gurley, who's having a great year. But offensively, I think they're going to play well. I got a feeling that this is a game that offensively, at some point, you get a little bit tired of, you know. I'll say this. I know if I was on that offense, I'd be like, listen, we're a part of this team too, and it's time for us to pull our weight, and let's go get it done. And I think there's some pride, and I think there's some confidence on this team that I don't know why. There's nothing that I can point to that says, you know, this is, you know, here's the evidence, but I got a feeling that this offense is going to come out and have a good game. I'm not saying they're going to score 30 and, you know, Blake's going to throw for 300 yards and it's going to look like the greatest show on turf. But I do think they're going to come out and have a productive and balanced attack against this Rams defense.
Let's call it a gut feeling from Tony.
It's a gut feeling.
It's a big gut.
It's a hopeful feeling.
Yeah, I guess hopeful is maybe a better way to put
it. Okay, that's even better. PRI Productions, the official event production company of the Jags, has everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit PRIProductions.com. We'll break down the Thursday night game and see how far Lagerman has fallen in the picks yet again.
I was on fire last week. What are you talking about?
On fire might be overselling it a bit.
I was good last week.
You were better. Good. Not great.
You weren't good. I know
I
that.
I was good.
No, you weren't.
I was average.
No, you weren't.
It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman in Jacksonville, Tony Baselli at Bank of America Stadium, Charlotte, North Carolina, where tonight the Carolina Panthers welcome the Philadelphia Eagles. Both teams 4-1. Good matchup tonight of quarterbacks, Wentz, Newton. Tony Baselli has the call on Westwood 1 tonight. We touched on this game a little earlier tonight. We'll handle it a little bit more now as we move into the picks section of the show. We'll get to the picks coming up. But as we mentioned earlier, the quarterback battle here is front and center tonight. Wentz, young guy in the league, starting to find his way. Cam Newton's had some adversity this year, but the last 2 weeks has found his way at least this season so far, Tony. Tony's not there.
Tony?
No, I'm here. Oh, I'm sorry, JP. Yes, you're exactly right. You look at Cam Newton, I think that's the biggest difference. I mean, the last 2 weeks they're scoring over 30 points a game. For the season, it's only 21 because they had a nine. They scored nine in a victory, and they lost to the Saints only scoring 13. And a lot of it is because of Cam Newton. And you look at how he's progressed, you know, just from a completion percentage. He started the season at 56, went to 62, then 65, then 75, 78. So he continues to improve. And what they're saying in Carolina is that the guy had no preseason. He threw, like, one or two passes all preseason. He's coming off a torn
against the Jaguars.
Against the Jaguars. He's coming off a torn rotator cuff surgery. And trying to get his arm back in shape was going to take some time. So they viewed those first couple games as almost extended preseason for him. And they feel like now he is playing at the level, at a higher level than he might have ever played. I mean, his completion percentage is 68% right now this year through five games. The highest he's ever completed is 61%. And so he is really the catalyst of this team. Now, they're very good on defense, and they are one of the best teams at stopping the run. They have a great front seven, you know, Kwan Short and Star Lototele, as far as Keekly in the middle. I mean, Thomas Davis. I mean, they are really, really good. But this offense is what's driving the success of
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. The final moments of Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli's out of here. He's got the call of the game tonight on Westwood One Radio. The Eagles and the Panthers. Good game, 4-1 teams. The Jags get the Rams this week. Let's go around the National Football League. And we start off with huge news today for the Dallas Cowboys, who are on a bye this week. Zeke Elliott's suspension has now been reinstated. A federal appeals court overturned a district court's decision in that case today, meaning the 6-game suspension has been reinstated. The court ruled 2-1 in favor of the NFL that the district court did not have jurisdiction in the case. I'm sure this thing is not over.
I don't know what that means because, you know, the NFLPA is going to have an opportunity to do, to respond to that, filings, et cetera. But, you know, look, I'm getting tired of that, you know, because, I mean, this isn't the first time that the commissioner and players and suspensions and courts involved, you know, the Tom Brady situation. You just get tired of it. You know, you want football to be football, you know, instead of having the legal system involved. You know, politics. You don't want politics involved with your sport.
Nope.
You know, so I think that's one thing that I think fans kind of are getting tired of, you know, having that stuff to deal with, you know, then the flag anthem issues, all that kind of stuff. You know, it takes away from the popularity of the sport, and I think it takes the fun out of the NFL for some. And I'm ready for that to be done.
Well, it's not going to be done because next week there are league meetings, I believe, in New York. Roger Goodell said Wednesday that there has been no policy change regarding players standing for the anthem before games. Damari Smith and player leadership will attend those meetings as well to try to figure out a collective front there, maybe.
Well, figure this out, okay? It's not good for business, okay?
Sure.
That's the reality. And the NFL is a business, and at some point you need to make, you know, the best decisions for the business, and the players are in the business as well. And moving forward, you hope that the best business decisions are made because I'm sure that the customers have spoken their mind in a lot of cases.
Now, back to business, shall we?
Thank you.
Big trade in the National Football League. Adrian Peterson traded from the Saints to the Cardinals for a conditional 2018 sixth-round pick. AP didn't last too long in the Big Easy.
No.
He didn't touch the ball much in the Big Easy.
You know, look, it was kind of an odd fit for him to go to New Orleans anyway because Sean Payton's offense, the design of it, requires the running back to be not just a viable receiving target, but sometimes a primary receiving target. And that's never been Adrian Peterson's forte. Now, look, in Arizona, it's probably going to be a better fit for him. But, you know, you keep hearing Adrian Peterson talking about how he wants to play another 4 or 5 years and that he has plenty of gas left in the tank. Sooner or later, you got to stop talking about it, and you got to start doing it. And until Adrian Peterson does that, the continued skepticism of his abilities to continue at a high level will be there.
The meltdown continues in New York with Big Blue, the Giants.
What a mess.
Suspended Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie indefinitely, anywhere between 1 and 4 weeks, according to the CBA. The suspension comes after a heated argument, reportedly, between him and Ben McAdoo after he was pulled from the loss to the Chargers. The Giants are winless. They've got receivers on the mend right now that aren't going to be coming back this year. They've got a cornerback who's suspended, and it is meltdown time in New York.
Yeah, it's not good, you know, having played in New York, been in New York, when things of that nature start going on, the media scrutiny just literally, just makes it worse. You know, I'm not saying that they're the cause of it, but because of all the scrutiny and the attention that it draws.
There's nowhere to hide.
Yeah, you can, and it makes it a tough situation. And, you know, with Rogers Cromartie, there's an issue there, right, with him to where he is suspended.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it wasn't because he got pulled from the game and he got upset. He left.
Right.
In the middle of practice, left the building, you know, and it wasn't just once. I believe he did it a couple times. And if you're a coach and you're trying to maintain, you know, some semblance of team, you got to suspend a guy like that. You can't put up with that kind of stuff. And they've got issues elsewhere, you know, with the injuries to the wide receivers. And, you know, and that's obviously led to a lot of conversation amongst the NFL experts. Okay, well, now that things are so bad in New York, well, you know, maybe since they're going to be bad and they're not going to be any better, well, maybe you ought to trade Eli Manning. Okay, well, who would make sense? Well, let's see. His ex-coach is in Jacksonville. You know, but, I mean, that's what happens.
Yeah, sure.
That's what happens in New York when things go bad. You know, then all of a sudden the rumor, well, you know what, Eli Manning to Jacksonville makes sense. But, I mean, that's just how things work, you know, when the New York football Giants and the New York Jets football Jets are not very good, then a lot of the speculation, innuendo, rumors start flying.
The back pages are on fire right now.
Oh, yeah.
Those papers in New York.
Well, the good thing is for the two football teams, when the Jets are, look, they're playing pretty good. But the Yankees have been able to save some of the back page focus off of the Giants because they back and beat Cleveland, what, 3-2?
Good point, yep.
You know, so that's a good thing.
Good point. When the Yankees
and
here,
here's how New York will work. I mean, they're going to pound the Giants and pound the Giants and pound the Giants on the back page, and eventually they're just not going to – they're not. It's going to become old news.
Won't even be on the back page.
Then there's not even any information on the Giants except for one little small article from the beat writer.
Marcus Mariota is hopeful to return Monday night against the Colts from a hamstring injury. There was some speculation how long that would last. Some reports had it up to 4 to 6 weeks. But Mike Mularkey disputed that immediately, of course. So we'll see if he comes out on Monday night and plays, Mariota.
Well, I hope he does. I mean, he's obviously missed, and I think the Tennessee Titans have done a very poor job with their backup situation. You know, looking at Matt Castle when he's played – for them when Mariota has been hurt. He hasn't been playing very well. And it's kind of like, you know, here's the thing. You know, a lot of people talk about quarterbacks and styles of play. I thought Kaepernick would be a good fit for their style of offense, the where they do a lot of that zone read and get Marcus Mariota out in space and throwing and moving. But Matt Castle? You're wasting your time.
One other bit of news out west. Wildfires in wine country. There were questions of the game between the Chargers and Raiders. It's being played in Oakland. League spokesman has said that they are still planning on playing this Sunday in Oakland with all the wildfires burning just up the road. In fact, some of the players that practice for the Raiders have been wearing masks on the practice field. They've moved practice up earlier in the day.
Hey, look, we know about this, right? I mean, we've dealt with fires here in Jacksonville, and it's not a good situation to be in. I think like 20-something people have lost their lives due to the wildfires in California, which is a tragedy. A lot of people have lost, you know, everything they own, their houses, et cetera. It is a shame, and I hope that they get some rain, something to squelch all those wildfires. But yeah, I mean, we've dealt with it here before, to where they have canceled all activities outside here in the Jacksonville area when we had the real bad fires in the Okefenokee Swamp, and if the wind direction, you know, was just right, it was blowing right, and we could see the ash and everything falling, and that fire was 60 miles away or whatever, 50 miles away. I mean, that's a pretty long way. So I'm sure what they're going to do for the games this weekend is find out what the wind is going to do and then make it a determination. But I don't know what other options they would have. I mean, the NFL's been dealing with a lot of things already this year weather-wise.
I think so. Yeah, no doubt.
But hey, that's the way it is.
Here. So the Jags get the Rams. And this is, as we talked about earlier, We thought the Steelers matchup was going to be tough at certain areas. It's a proven organization, a proven quarterback, and they have parts there. Jaguars went up there and played very well and got it done, especially on the defensive side of the ball. This is a tough matchup in its own right. I mean, this is a good football team in L.A. coming in.
Well, they've got a bright mind offensive coach in Sean McVay. He's done a great job with them. I think the defensive coordinator has obviously his name, you know, just exudes confidence with a football team. Wade Phillips, he's done a great job everywhere he's been. This is a very challenging game, very challenging game, and you hope that as a team that the Jaguars are very excited about establishing consistency, establishing what they want to be as a football team. And look, if you want to be anything as a football team, it has to start with winning at home. And I'm excited for this football team to get a win at home because this fan base is excited about seeing it. And but it is going to be a very challenging game. Very challenging game. I think it's going to come down to the wire. And I think that the young quarterback for the Rams will make a mistake or the defense will force a mistake. And I think the Jaguars offense, I'm with Tony, I think they're going to play well. And when I say play well, I'm not saying score 50 points, but play well.
Should be fun this week. Max Hockman, Joe Fortunato, for Tony Buscelli, Jeff Lagerman, I'm JP Shadrick. Thanks for listening to Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.